Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Here in Cheshire County, New Hampshire, where we broadcast this show from, it's the western, southwesternmost county of the 10 counties in New Hampshire. Cheshire County Sheriff Eli Rivera has been making headlines for coming out and with a very, very, I would say, strong statement nullifying the federal government's immigration enforcement here in Cheshire County, basically creating...
Now the claim is that the sheriff is the highest law enforcement officer in his county, that he is, you know, outranks things like the FBI and these sorts of things.
Yeah, and Rivera, the sheriff, is not the first sheriff or, you know, police chief or whoever to do something like this in the United States. There are a bunch of what are called, commonly called sanctuary cities and sanctuary counties.
I haven't heard of too many sanctuary counties, but all right.
You don't hear about them, but I did look at the...
There has to be some, right?
I did go pull up the Center for Immigration Studies, and they actually have a map of... because I wanted to know, like, how many other... Are there other counties? And yes, there certainly are. In fact, it looked at a glance like there were quite a few of them. I don't take the time to fret about what some people might think about my opinions on the blog or what, you know, the subjects of the blog might be concerned about. My goal is to get the news out about what's happening here. And that's what I do over at freekeen.com. And obviously, there's opinion that's involved in it, too. It's a blog. So, you know,
you're motivated by whatever the news story is that motivates you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And your opinion on it.
And what I want people to see is that New Hampshire is a destination for people who care about freedom, that we're a special place compared to the rest of the country,
especially the rest of New England.
Compared to New England, for sure, but New Hampshire's the number one most free state of all of the United States. It's got some downsides, like any place does, but
what
the
about Texas?
Are very good.
What about Texas?
Texas has a lot of business freedom.
Number 27. Just so
on business freedom?
Whenever you say the freest state, the Texans chime in. These people are fiercely chauvinistic.
Oh, you're saying they're number 27 on the freedom rankings.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were talking about business freedom, in which
higher.
Case Texas is actually very good.
Yeah.
And New Hampshire needs some help in that area. And that's why we've got this migration of people who are mostly from the United States coming here, but we've got people from as far away as Russia who are coming here as well.
I'm checking out the towns in Cheshire County and how they went during the election. And it looks like he didn't go on a huge limb here. If you were just to stick your finger in the wind and say, politically, what should I do? My guess is that the people who voted for Trump tend to be more strongly anti-immigration than the people who voted against Trump or, you know, for Hillary.
I mean, that could be true, but some people voted just against Hillary because they hated Hillary.
Some
I mean,
did.
That's hard to say. And regardless, looking at a national election mark is not really a way to assess anything, especially the election that we just went through.
But it is a national election that one of the central issues was immigration.
I mean, they always bring up immigration in the elections.
Not all of them suggest building a wall.
Yeah, but it's still not. It's not instructive. When you're looking at New Hampshire, you have to look at local results. And looking at a national election, I mean, for instance, yeah, Hillary won in New Hampshire, but barely. And also a Republican won the governorship at the same time. So, you know, there's no real consistency there.
Right, but the governor wasn't running on immigration issues, and the presidential candidates were. And all I'm trying to say is that these are the results during an election that they were worried about immigration. Immigration was a central issue, and this county went blue, you know, I mean, not every town by any stretch of the imagination, but if you were a calculating politician, you stuck your finger in the air, you know, this particular stance would be low cost, higher gain.
Brian Costa is the late police chief here in Keene. He said also on this subject in an interview with the Keene Sentinel that, quote, we have no interest in going forward, nor do we have the resources for deputizing our officers as part of ICE to go out and seek illegal or undocumented immigrants. We govern ourselves by our mission statement, which says that Keene police are to protect life and property and maintain order within the city while assuring fair and respectful treatment of everyone. Costa said that mission statement is not just a group of words, it's how we do business. And, you know, so there you go. I mean, yeah, Keene is also a lefty city. I mean, that's definitely true. But regardless, you know, this is the right choice to make, and it is a unpopular and risky kind of choice to make. I understand you're saying you feel like it was a safer choice here than somewhere else might have been, and that may very well be true. But regardless, he could have not made any statement on this issue. He says, as sheriff, I do not want undocumented immigrants to fear the sheriff's office. Instead, I want them to be able to approach and speak to any of my deputies without the fear that they will be turned over to ICE. If in the course of our duties we happen to come across an undocumented person, we will handle each encounter in a way we deem appropriate for each situation. If you are an undocumented person in Cheshire County and feel uncertain about approaching law enforcement for fear they will turn you over to ICE, feel free to call me, Sheriff Eli Rivera, at the Cheshire County Sheriff's Office. And so that is that's the statement from Sheriff Rivera. Kudos to him for doing this. Johnny Ray, you say he is taking some level of political risk. Mark, you say this isn't risky at all. I'm on your side on this one.
It's calculated risk with a benefit. For those that are sort of upset about these whole sanctuary city things, there's another side of this. The other side is that how do you enforce immigration? How do you stop illegal immigration? Well, Trump's got an idea, the wall, that sort of thing. And I think we're going to address that here in a moment. But I want to point out that what you may not see if you don't live in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, is these borderless, the ones that are not on the border, checkpoints that are not on the border, where they just ask people, they stop you and ask you if you're an American citizen.
You've been through one of these.
Yeah, I've been through several of them. Mm-hmm. One of them, there's a video, pretty well-viewed video online where people mm-hmm. call me all kinds of terrible names because I asked one of these people if they had reasonable, articulable suspicion that I might not be an American citizen. Mm-hmm. Because they cannot, in here in America, where we have English common law, you cannot be detained if they don't have reasonable, articulable suspicion that you've committed a crime.
Right.
And the crime that they were suggesting is asking me, being an illegal immigrant. So I asked them if they had reasonable, articulable suspicion that I had committed a crime. And they detained me and said that it did not have reasonable, articulable suspicion. That is an illegal act. So you have these.
But they get away with it every day.
They get away with these things every day because people sort of support it. Well, you got to have these. And most of the people commenting, really, they don't know. They can't. They don't know a difference between, crap and chocolate ice cream.
I wanted to inject something here about your blog post and the situation.
Sure.
Your reaction to this and your resolution to cast a vote for Eli Rivera is typical disappointing inside the system voter behavior. Eli Rivera is a guy who, as the sheriff, he's a basket of goods.
Sure. He's got some bad.
And he's got some good stuff, and he's got some bad stuff, but there's this flashy statement that he made that has just floored you, Ian.
Oh, I'm very happy with it.
And it's no different from all these libertarians who have jumped on the Trump bandwagon because of their inner hatred for...
I'm not going to hold a campaign sign for the guy. I mean, I'm just going to check a box.
For immigrants.
I wouldn't say
The libertarians that are going in for Trump are just... There's this one thing that has grabbed them, that has hooked them, and...
I'm not sure what that is, but... Yeah.
In the case of Trump, I think
it's his rhetoric, I guess. I mean, because he can talk a good game about reducing the government. You connect with a lot of the people in the thespian community here in Keene, and I'm sure that those people are not all ready to reject the state, are they?
No, not many people are, but some are, and the striking the root is just a much more exciting idea to me.
Sure.
And I don't think that you can fire somebody up talking about voting and policy and so forth. We need security, the type of security that police sometimes perform to protect our property and our persons.
Yep.
We need that. And the best way to get that is to have a system of profits and losses that sort out the most efficient and effective providers. But instead, what we have is a sort of a weird, in my opinion, popularity contest for all of our elected officials, and for you to not only wave at the people on the street as you go to the voting poll, but also on your blog that, according to Mark, is very well read, you're shouting to the whole state about how you're actually going to go and vote, and you don't have to
do
that. I
vote every time.
I know, but
I've even run for political office, Johnny Ray, because I see the political system as a way to communicate the ideas of liberty.
I think what you look at as immigration reform is, like you say, open borders. To me, immigration reform would be streamlining the immigration program so that people could get into this country legally quicker if they are legitimate, honest people.
Have you ever heard the term streamline and government used in the same sentence before?
Well,
it's a joke, isn't it? It's laughable.
The
term bureaucrat is not poorly placed. So, believe me.
So is immigration reform a good thing, too?
Every time letting the government do something called reform generally goes poorly. Okay, so that's what my statement is. And the reason that I have my stance, which my stance is that free people can cross the borders of free countries freely, or you don't have free people and you don't have free countries. So the reason I have my stance is because I do not believe the government is a very efficient organization. I'm also highly fiscally conservative. So I think that an organization like ICE, Border Patrol, these folks that have allowed, 20 million illegal immigrants into the country over time, have miserably failed and misspent tens of billions of dollars, if not more, and that shouldn't be rewarded with more money and more reform. OpenBorders.org, the largest organization that supports open borders, predicts a 2 times increase, a 100% increase in one-time world GDP if we simply allow free people to move across borders all over the world. If we just dropped the peaceful people being stopped at borders. Now, isn't that capitalistic?
Where do you see the country in 25 years? If you drop the borders, have you chewed it to the bone?
Where do I see the country? If you drop the borders and use the plan I said where, nobody gets welfare and that sort of thing, and I'll flesh out the blue card more if I need to, I see a lot of people coming here and working harder. I see the country changing a little bit more. Probably, if we can look at the early 1900s, when lots of people came here, the country changed dramatically. We got pizzas and bagels and a variety of things that taste delicious.
Sure,
instead of eating a bunch of boiled food.
I would like to see the immigrants come in.
They would be allowed to come in if they were hardworking and prove that they were going to do this and weren't going to be a burden on the system. But how do you control all the drug cartels that would come in, the free movement of drugs?
Well, okay.
You end the war on drugs. That's step number one there. So if you want to stop drug cartels, you legalize all drugs and make it so average business people in America can
re-legalize. Remember, heroin, this country was made great by people who could legally purchase heroin.
My original question, though, hasn't been answered.
Okay.
Where do you see the country in 25 years after you chew this to the bone? What's going to happen?
Okay.
You mentioned 20 million people that came across illegally. How many do you think are going to flood across when it's legal?
So that's a great boogeyman, and I don't know the answer.
Who cares? We got plenty of room.
Wait a second. I do have a pretty good explanation. Prior to 1969, people could cross the people from Mexico and northern Mexico could cross the borders of the United States freely. Freely. They'd come, they'd work the crops, they'd go back home. The reason that they stay in many cases is because remember, property's cheaper south of the border. It's in many cases, the reason they stay is because it's harder to get back across the border. So if you let the border open, you would find that some people migrate back. And we've actually had that during the economic downturn, too. Now, so I can say that, look, I don't know what's going to happen, but I can say that within your lifetime, the border has been open and it wasn't some terrible catastrophe for everybody. So I don't know. I think we would probably have a 30% increase.
The border has not been open.
What?
The border has not been open.
It was
open. You're talking total dropping the border, taking down the gates, taking down any way to get in, whether it be Mexico, Canada, or the East Coast or the West Coast.
In the 60s, you could – a Mexican person could come across the border and work the fields – for a period of time, migrant workers, and then go back home. So that's not an open border.
Yeah, but the world wasn't a mess it is now.
What I see in 25 years, initially, the workers would come in, and a lot of these American socialists would have a rude wake-up call because because they're going to be outcompeted for jobs, and eventually they would come to understand that they have to work for a living. These lazy Americans. Carmine, I have an opinion. In my worldview, Americans are lazy and Mexicans are industrious. And maybe in yours, it's the opposite.
Many of them are. Many of them are.
But I don't. But I don't want. I don't want to tax you to enforce my policy. And I understand that the government sucks at everything it does. So if I really wanted to keep Mexicans out, I definitely wouldn't want the federal government's help in doing
it. It's not just Mexicans, though. You keep referring back to Mexicans. It's not just Mexicans.
Okay. If I wanted to keep ISIS out, I wouldn't want the feds helping me out because they'll screw it up. I wouldn't. I'd say, Carmine, if you're worried about the safety and security of yourself and your family,
buy a gun.
Then it's your responsibility to protect them, and it's not mine.
Oh.
My responsibility is to protect my family and the people I love.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, if you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you also may not have a lot of time to listen to an entire episode of Free Talk Live, so you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month via Patreon, or send some Bitcoin or Ether instead. See the show description for details on how to do so.
I just had a response to the gentleman that just called. I guess his name is Carmen.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys didn't take the bait on purpose, but what I noticed with that was he was trying to say, what will the country look like in 25 years? Generally speaking, when I hear that, you know, it's based upon the demographic and racial makeup.
I didn't even think of it like that, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and that's, you know, it's highly unfortunate. I mean, especially for someone, you know, the gentleman said that, you know, I guess his parents came from Italy. His name's, you know, Carmen. He's a Mediterranean person, you know, and here we have these people who the U.S., through this, you know, this hegemonic sort of presence we have in the Western Hemisphere, we've largely helped to exploit and destroy many of their countries. And man, I cannot think of really one solid example in my life where, you know, where I've had folks, Hispanic folks or otherwise, that were kind of like slackers and not hardworking people.
The American Conservative magazine did a study. They couldn't do it on illegal immigrants, but they could, you know, do it on Latins. And they did a study on how, you know, criminal Latins are. And there is no deviation or very little deviation from Latins, as they referred to them, and whites.
Meaning that Latino young males are as likely as white young males to be involved in crime.
Right. So, yes, you've heard some crime.
Yeah, you will see the press with the horrific stories about the man who had been deported twice before, but
sure,
he came back in and he just raped somebody. And that, I'm sure that happened, but yep, white people do it too.
That's right.
And the reason, and the stories that they're putting out there, they have an agenda.
With Trump, you have to read between the lines. He says something or does something or promotes a wall, and then you have to think about, well, if that comes to pass, what will that entail? And Abraham Lincoln said it best. The first Republican said, our first Republican president, of course, Thomas Jefferson did run as a Republican but failed to win. Either way, he said the best way to undo a bad law, and in this case a bad situation, is to enforce it. So Trump is saying, hey, you got a problem with illegal aliens. You're calling them illegal because they're here because of the way they cross the border. Okay, fine, let's stop it. Let's put up a wall. And what it's forcing everyone else to do, Congress, business, states, landowners, is to think about that wall and, oh, my God, what will it cost? What problems will it cause? Can't we find a better solution? In other words, by forcing the enforcement of immigration, building a 20-foot, 50-foot, 100-foot wall is almost impossible, and therefore, let's fix it.
I think we should get our taxes in like a checkbox. And like, oh, you want a wall? Okay, check off that. Oh, I want health care for all? Okay, check mark that.
Yep.
And at the end of your taxes, all the programs you want for it, there's a bill. And I bet you If people had a bill and it was itemized, they might be a little more pro-freedom, because I don't want to pay for a wall. I don't support that wall.
Yeah.
So why should I pay for it? I don't want to put, now there's be some things I'd be willing to pay for.
You know, or the people who do support the wall, once they're put with, you know, the cost in front of them, they might think twice about it.
Correct.
And I want to know how much the interstate system costs, because this is the one thing that people always trot out with the federal government. Well, what about the interstate
the
system?
The roads wouldn't connect if we didn't have
Somehow the states would now figure out how to make roads connect or whatever. And I just want to know, what's the federal amount that goes into this? Because I'm willing to give that. I'll also go ahead and give for veterans benefits, even though I don't support the wars they've been in.
Exactly.
Fine.
Exactly.
You got it. You got it. Veterans benefits, I'm in.
Where housing and cash welfare are concerned, natives, which are U.S. citizens, are close to illegal immigrants, where, again, cash welfare and housing, they're about the 10% level. In Medicaid, illegals are over 51%, food, 60%, and all welfares over 62%, and it's less than half for U.S. citizens. So I have no idea, besides him quoting Cato, and I don't use Cato, again, because Charles Koch started it. Now, the Koch brothers, I'm not dissing them. They have given millions and millions of dollars they don't have to give to cancer research, you know, hospitals.
But
blah,
Murray
blah, blah,
Rothbard
blah, blah, blah.
Started Cato, too, along with Charles Koch and Ed Crane.
Yeah, but
and Rothbard's pretty good libertarian. One of the problems with welfare is this country puts out a bowl of cat food every morning and then yells and screams and complains when a bunch of stray cats come by and eat the food. The problem isn't that for stray cats will eat cat food that sits on a porch. It's that some numbskull puts it out there, right?
Oh, my gosh. You and I have been on the same page for years on that. But here's the thing that you guys are being unrealistic about. It, because the SJWs and everyone else, especially the Dems, it's not going to go away. So if we can't get rid of that system,
we need a police state.
How come we can build? How come it is politically expedient to build a wall, but it is not politically expedient to just let immigrants come in, get a blue card, and not use government welfare programs?
Hey, I'm for that.
How about we use some of the normal niceties of the common law system when you are in a position, say, as a lawyer or a judge? And you have to voice your opinion, your legal opinion, on something that you have control over, you would recuse yourself in a proper manner, right?
Okay.
So if we make the welfare system such that anyone, and I'm not talking about personal welfare only, I'm talking about corporate welfare, whatever you want to look at, whatever welfare is, money that's going from the state, from the Fed, to people or corporations, you cannot vote in any election in which someone that you would vote for or against can increase or decrease your subsidy.
That makes sense. I would say that if you're going to have a state around, I think that there's a strong argument that not only should recipients of state welfare not be able to vote, but also bureaucrats should also not be able to vote, people who work for the state.
I actually work in the marijuana industry in Denver.
Cool.
And what a lot of people aren't realizing is you can complain all day about this group of people is taking up this health care cost or this and that, but you're not getting at the root problem. The root problem is two different things. One is the pharmaceutical industry, and two is the medication that they're providing for you, because they'll take $1 million from your family because, you know, one of them might have cancer, and they'll end up dead anyway. When you can use things like alkalizing your body, eating nutritious foods, and a combination of THC and CBD to cure your ailments, too. So I think if we looked at other alternative things instead of who's doing what, we might be able to, you know, get a little more for our money, and some of these problems won't be as big as they are.
There's no doubt that the pharmaceutical industry plays a major role in encouraging the continuing regulation of healthcare. It's typical that the industries that are being regulated, whether they be pharmaceuticals or cigarette manufacturers or, you know, you fill in the blank, usually are the biggest cheerleaders for greater and greater regulations because they know it keeps competitors out. And so that's one of the reasons why they get to charge so much is because their competition is highly limited by the existence of the FDA and the patenting process and, you know, the idea of intellectual property. These are some of the, I guess, the legs that the industry rests on in order to not be as innovative, not be as competitive, and, you know, basically have a very limited marketplace.
Government, I think, as most of the libertarians view it, is by its very nature the problem. And I must say, I think as I ponder it further, that I tend to lean that if you can get good, honest, decent, honorable people into office, that might be quite a different picture. But it doesn't happen anymore. I am one who no longer has any faith in elections, electronic voting. I do believe that Democrats and Republicans are now owned by big corporate special interests. They're in it. What's in it for us? To hell with the people.
Sure. So I think it's always been that way. That's the thing. You know, there are outliers. Like, you can point to someone like Ron Paul, who is one of the few people who actually had the, you know, kind of stuck with his principles when he was in office. It's very rare that you will find a creature like that. I mean, typically in the political world, and we've seen there have been scientific studies about, and we've talked about them on Free Talk Live, scientific studies done on humans and how they relate to power and how it is that power corrupts. It's scientifically proven that power corrupts with people.
What do you think of Bernie Sanders? Did he have his heart in trying to benefit the people, do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think that Bernie Sanders, the reason that there was this huge upwelling around him, that there was because he was a genuine guy. I think that, you know, basically you saw the Ron Paul revolution, you know, and behind Sanders. It may even have been bigger. He performed better against Clinton than Ron Paul did against the Republicans. I think it was all because of his sort of character. I mean, he's a politician, so I'm going to hold my wallet whenever I'm around him. But that doesn't change the fact that I believe that he believed what he said. And if Clinton hadn't attempted, and I'm not saying she was that what she did was necessarily caused Sanders to lose, but I believe if she hadn't attempted to foil his campaign, she would have won. And if she hadn't attempted, if he would have won, he would have won handily against Trump. That Clinton, because she attempted to steal the DNC, you know, to fix the DNC nomination, basically gave Trump the presidency.
Let's get, for instance, Michigan or New Hampshire to secede from the union. Let's ignore the federal government, make them go away. I mean, they don't bring any real value. So, I mean, not only do I agree that you should cut all the GS-12s, but cut GS-0 through 99 or whatever other numbers.
The federal government ought to be an agreement, a piece of paper, just a contract that says, hey, we're going to let everybody move from one state to another without you know, border checks or anything like that. And that's it.
So no need for any bureaucrats.
You guys were talking. You're in the live free and die or die state, right?
Yeah, that's right. New Hampshire.
All right. I here in Michigan, you know what we are here?
No,
we're a penal colony. This is a penal colony here. Don't laugh about it, buddy. You check the records. We have more people incarcerated in this state than per capita than any other state in the union.
You're beating out Florida? That's hard to believe.
We did.
What percentage of the incarcerations are for nonviolent, victimless crimes like drugs?
Drugs. Yep, drugs.
A large percentage?
If you get caught with marijuana up here, they fine you, put you in jail, and take your driver's license away.
Jeez.
I don't care if you're walking on the side of the road with it.
I would love the Bitcoin world to come back together again, and I've been looking a little more into Roger Ver's stand, and I haven't followed him or paid attention to him over the last couple of years. And what I found, or what I think I found, unfortunately, he is not an evil person. He's not driven by money. He's driven by passion, because Bitcoin became his life, I believe, mm-hmm. over the last 6 years, and he's motivated by passion, and he wants to make it better.
I think that's true.
Yeah. It would be better if he was evil or motivated by money. because, you know.
Yeah, because then you can be motivated.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.